Okay, so Maamar Zion. Let me just first put up the psukim that we are going to use. Okay, so just a few psukim to start off Rav Huttner's question in the first paragraph. When the Torah describes Yetzias Mitzrayim and the holiday of Pesach, so it uses the word of zechira, uses the terminology of remembering. For example, in Shmos, in Parshas Beshalach, there it says in Perek Yud-Gimel, "Vayomer Moshe el ha'am zechores ha'yom es ha'yom hazeh asher yitzasam mitzrayim mibeis havadim." Remember the day that you left Mitzrayim from the house of bondage. Ki bechozik yadotzi Hashem eschem mizeh v'lo yechel chametz. Right, Hashem took us out with a strong hand, and you shouldn't eat chametz. So there, the pasuk says zechor. You have to remember the day that we left Mitzrayim. Again, in Parshas and Dvarim, Perek Tazayin, the pasuk says lo sochal av chametz shivas yamim tochal alav matzos lechemoni. The pasuk says in Parshas Re'eh that right, we can't eat chametz. And we should eat the matzah. Because we left Mitzrayim in haste. So that you should remember the day that you left Mitzrayim all the days of your life. So again, it uses the Lashon of Zachar. Says Rav Huttner, interestingly, when it comes to Sukkos, the Torah changes the terminology. And when we get to Parshas Vayikra, and when we get to Parshas Emor and Vayikra, it says "Leman Yedu Dorosechem." This is an Emor. "Leman Yedu Dorosechem Ki Basukos Oshafti Es Bnei Yisrael Botzi Osam Meretz Yisrael Ani Hashem Elokeichem." In order that you should know that I settled you in these sukkos, in these tents, these huts, these Anane Akavod, whatever sukkos represents. So here, instead of saying Leman Tizkor Ki Basukos Soshafti Bnei Yisrael, it says Leman Yedu, that you should know. So why does the Torah switch from Zechira to Yediyah, from remembering to knowing? That's the question that Rav Huttner wants to try to tackle in this piece. Okay, so let me stop the screen on that screen share. So now let's get inside. We're not going to read every word inside because it takes too long. And we'd be here for too long. So we're going to skip a little bit. And Rav Huttner says, in order to open up, in order to understand the reason for this flipping of terminology, he says, we have to look at the Mishnah in Sukkos, in Masechah Sukkah, that's in Perek Hey, Mishnah Dalad. And it says in the following, we're going to start from the word about six lines down from the start of the Maamar, where the sentence ends with the word dikishahayu. Okay, so dikishahayu. When this is describing the scene when they would go from the Beis HaMikdash to draw the water for the tremendous simcha of Simchas Beis HaShoeva, for that huge party, right? Whoever didn't see the Simchas Beis HaShoeva says the Mishnah, you never saw a simcha in your life. Right, so they would go down to draw the water. When they would get to the gate that pointed to the eastern side of the mountain, they had a very strange kind of a behavior. They would turn around, and they'd face Mairiv, they'd face the west. And they would make the following proclamation. This is at the Simchas Beis HaShoeva, at the height of this joy. They turned around and they said, you know, our forefathers, this is reference to the end of the first Beis HaMikdash. This happening, the Mishnah describing the second Beis HaMikdash. So during the second Beis HaMikdash, they would turn around and they would say, you know, at the end of the first Beis HaMikdash, our fathers would come to this point and they would turn their backs on the Beis HaMikdash and they would worship the sun. And they would worship the sun. Va'anu l'Hashem. And but we today stand here and we are only to Hashem. Such a strange minhag, right? Says Rav Huttner, yistar leva adam, yistar leva adam. A person's heart should be like in a storm. Like, what is going on here? I'm bonin al inyan zeh shel hazkaras avodah zarah shel hadoros hakodmin. That all of a sudden now we're mentioning, we're remembering the worshiping of avodah zarah the previous generations did. Shayud veis rishon. Davka b'shas simchas beis hashoeva, and specifically at this time of the celebration of the beis hashoeva, right? What's going on here? Why would we want to talk about that? Why would we want to talk about this now? So it's a pella, right? This thing is very strange. It's very strange. Okay. So again, he's using this as an opening to ultimately get back to why we talk about Yediyah by Sukkot versus Zechira by other holidays. Okay, so he introduces us to, and we're going to do a little fast forwarding just for the sake of time, but it's really beautiful to read inside. So he says, he introduces us to a Maharal. And the Maharal gives a fancy and fascinating explanation to the Shalosh Shagalim. The Maharal says as follows, that we know the Torah references the Shalosh Shagalim with three different names, right? Pesach is also known as Chag Ha'aviv. And Shavuos is also known as Chag HaKatzir, and Sukkot is also known as Chag HaSif, right? Which respectively means, the ripening of the fruit and the harvesting, and then the bringing the fruit into our homes, okay? Not the fruit, specifically the bounty, the crops, okay? So says the Maharal, the way Rav Hudna says, I understand it, means as follows, that whenever a person wants a messenger to do a job for him, there's really three stages to it. The first stage is I appoint the guy as my messenger. The second stage is I give him his instructions so he can go out on his mission. And the final stage is when he returns back and he says, mission complete. Those are the three stages of any shlichus. And those stages of shlichus parallel the different yomim tovim, actually. The different yomim tovim. Okay, Bnei Yisrael were appointed as shlichim at the time of Yetzias Mitzrayim. That's when Hashem said, you're my nation, right? I'm grabbing you guys, I'm taking you out of Mitzrayim, now you are connected to me, you are going to have a mission that I'm going to give you. That's Yetzias Mitzrayim. When it comes to Shavuos, that's Matan Torah, that's when we got our mission, right? So the minoy of the shlichus happens at Yetzias Mitzrayim. Our mission statement was created at the time of Shavuos when we got our job and our task. And now within this construct, Sukkot is the completion of the mission where we come back to Hashem and we say, job complete. We did our jobs. And this parallels exactly like the cycle of the crops, right? What's Chag Ha'aviv? Why is it called Chag Ha'aviv? Not just because we were appointed as the nation that's going to do the mission, but Chag Ha'aviv means the fruit are blossoming. Aviv, as Rashi says, if you look in that pasuk, Chag Ha'aviv, Rashi says Aviv comes from Av, the father, the Bechor, the head, the first. It's the beginning. It's the beginning of the process, of the cycle. That's where we were chosen as the nation. That's our beginning. Chag HaKatzir means you do the mission. What's the mission? You plant the crops and you cut them down. That was the whole point. You want crops. So that's the mission. And that's the cutting of the crops. And that's Chag HaKatzir. And then what's the last part? Chag HaAsif. That's where we complete the circle. We bring it back in. Asif means to bring it in, is to gather it up. And we bring it back home. That's the completion of the job, where we take our stuff, we bring it back into the house, and we get to rejoice with our crops. So we see it's a metaphor. The cycle of the agricultural cycle is a metaphor for Klal Yisrael and our relationship with Hashem as being shalichim. Brilliant idea. Fascinating. This is what the Maharal explains to us. Okay. So now, keeping that in mind, let's move on to Os Beis. Okay. That got us through Os Aleph. Let's go to Os Beis. So Shor Zeh Shalamadnu Mitoch Devar Shalom Maharal. This idea that we learned from any questions so far? Good? Okay, I just don't want to lose anyone. Okay, so this idea that we learned from the Maharal. Man here who has a name to b'mama chachamim ala sukkah shall be as Ezra. This explains to us another very strange chazal about Ezra bringing B'nai Israel back to the land of Israel, right? Ezra, Nehemiah, Ezra brought us back to out of Galus Bavel to Eretz Israel. And it says there in the pasuk in Nehemiah, "Vayasu kol kahal hashavim in hashavi sukos," and all the Jewish people that came out of captivity came to Eretz Israel and they made sukos. "Vayeshu basukos," and they lived and they sat in those sukkos, kilo asu mimei Yeshua ben Nun, because they hadn't made sukkos since the time of Yeshua ben Nun. Kei b'nei Yisrael ad yomahu, right? Until that moment, until now, where they finally made a sukkah again. Vati simcha gedolam, oh, then this was obviously a great simcha. Can you imagine not making a sukkah since the times of Yehoshua, who brought the b'nei Yisrael into b'nei Yisrael into Eretz Yisrael for the very first time? They hadn't made sukkos, so it's going to be a very big simcha. The problem is that's unbelievable. That's practically impossible to believe. And so the Gemara Narachin actually asked that question on Daf Lamed Beis. On the Beis, the Gemara says, what are you talking about? How could they possibly say that? Is it possible that David HaMelech brought Klal Yisrael to Eretz Yisrael? He conquered Eretz Yisrael for them, and David HaMelech never had Klal Yisrael make sukkos? Really? Yeshua's, the last time they made a sukkah was the time of Yeshua, not during David, not during Shlomo. It's not possible. It's just not possible. We would have heard about something like that, but Yisrael never fulfilled the mitzvah of sukkah. So says the Gemara, there are two different things. He's going to the second answer of the Gemara, not the first answer, because it's a larger sugi about Kiddush Rishona. So putting that aside, says the Gemara that what it means is as follows. Ba'azel maimar chachamim, efshar ba'david lo'asa sukkos, is possible David, he was the leader of Klal Yisrael, and they didn't make sukkos. Ad sheba Ezra, until finally Ezra came many generations later. El debo racham yal yitzra davod zara ubatlu, says the Gemara. No, you know what it means is? It means that Ezra davened, that's Gemara in Sanhedrin, Ezra davened that the Yetzahara for Avodah Zarah should disappear. And it did. And Hashem was mevatel. He nullified the Yetzahara for Avodah Zarah. The Agin Zuchus alayo kisuka, right? And this Zuchus that Ezra was able to daven and actually accomplish it and get rid of Avodah Zarah was like a tremendous zechus that protected Klal Yisrael like a sukkah protects us. Strange thing. It's just like a mishmash of just stuffing ideas together. What's going on there? You know? But that is the fascinating Gemara that we don't really have a Yetzirah for Avodah Zarah. Like we read about Avodah Zarah and we're thinking, why would you want to bow down to, you know, to this kind of weird carving? It just doesn't make sense to us, because the Gemara explains that from Ezra on, we don't really have that taiva. We don't have that draw. So that's what the Gemara says. Okay. So the Zohar Hunter says, we have to understand this. We have to understand what this means. He says, Vein devarim halal l'shum perush. They have no explanation. Okay. There are many times the Gemara talks about that a mitzvah can protect a person, learning Torah can protect a person. Gemara and Sota talks about that Torah has protection. It doesn't say Torah protects like a sukkah, but Torah protects us like a certain thing. It protects. These things have qualities to protect. Why are we comparing it to a sukkah? Veza tam yesh badavar, says Rafunder. What is the possible reason? Kidavka hagana zechus zunish parsha because of bitur kiyom mitzvah sukkah. That specifically this zechus of Ezra to get rid of the yetzahara of avodah zara is compared to like a sukkah. So that's the question. Okay. So let's try to understand this. So says Rafunder, based on an introduction to the Maharal, we can put it in the following context. Skip down a couple of lines by the dot. Ki hisbonunus hamuka b'inyan zeh Torah lanu. Right? If we delve deeply into this, we have a very special idea. Ki uvdu de Ezra b'bitol yitzud avodah zarah omedisi yechida ubodada. The idea that Ezra was able to mimavatel the yitzur from avodah zarah is singular. It's absolutely unique. Bein kol ha'avdos hama'oros mi'amos b'reishis tzol yitzias adam. From the time that God created man on earth, ad achris hayomim shagulas adam, until eventually the final saving of man, which would be la'asid lavo, to usher us into the times of, you know, of perfection. There's never been a moment like that since Maaseh Bereishis until we finally get to, you know, Mashiach. This idea that Ezra was mvatel the Yetzirah. Why? B'chol shal shelas hama'oros shal yamos olam. Throughout all our history, if shalim so mashal dimyon o dogma, you can't possibly find a comparison or any type of image to any idea that were mevatel, we crushed, we destroyed, we nullified a Yetzirah. We nullified that Malach HaMashchis. You'll never find such an example. Ki al kein bitul a Yetzir shayach l'achris hayamim. Because the idea of nullifying the Yetzirah is a concept of La'asid Lavo. It's a concept of Yimbos HaMashiach. It's a concept of the world reaching a certain level of perfection. Right? Like the Gemara in Sukkah says, that La'asid Lavo, Hashem is going to take the Yetzirah, he's going to take the Malach HaMashchis, and he's going to shech them. Right, the idea of no more Yetzirah, the idea of just being totally drawn after God almost naturally, is an idea of the future times. It's an idea that, you know, the world came back to its level of perfection, like Adam Rishon, its original state. Right? At that moment that Adam Rishon, he sinned with the Eitz Hadas, we've had now to struggle with this internal Yetzirah that we're fighting constantly, battling. And there's no idea that a Yetzirah just disappears. Like, you know, there's no such thing like that. A Yetzirah to tell Lashon Hara. A Yetzirah to put someone down. A Yetzirah for cutting corners, for cheating. There's always these things that pull at us. And the idea that the Yetzirah totally disappeared, only one such example. And that's Yetzirah Avodah Zarah. And that is an image of future times, an image of a perfect world, right? You can see where he's going with this. You can see where he's going with this, because what did we say? The three holidays represent different levels of our shlichus. The ultimate end of our shlichus is going to be when the world is perfected, when we're able to usher the world into that age of perfection. Well, there'll be no more Yetzirah. We'll do enough of the tikkun that we're supposed to be doing with all our mitzvos, right? That's what Sukkah represents, the completion of our shlichus. So let's go back inside. All the Nevi'im talk about this. They have different mishalim about the destruction of the Yetzirah. In different Nevi'im, different languages, whether it's through Ezra, through Yoel, the Nevi'im talk about the Yetzirah being destroyed. They're all a image, they're all a nevua of the times to come. Chizyonos nevua lalu shal bitla yetz ba'achras hayamim, heim gam chizyonos hachzara shlichusa shal knessel etzel mishalcha. So the idea of the Yetzirah being destroyed, because that's a perfected world, where we just don't have any taiva for bad anymore, right, is also exactly the point where we have completed our shlichus. I mean, in other words, the world doesn't just happenstance, the Yetzirah disappears and the world just happens to come there. It's part of our mission statement to bring the world to a better place. So when the Yetzirah is shechted, it means we've completed our jobs. Hashem said, you're my special nation. You have a mission. Through Torah and mitzvahs, you're going to perfect this world. And at some point, we're going to have to go back to God and say, we did it. Mission complete. And at that moment, there's going to be no Yetzirah anymore. So the two go hand in hand. Bitala Yetzirah hu ha'asisi shlichu secha. Right? The mevatel of the Yetzirah is the same exact thing as us saying, God, we were mevatel Yetzirah, we did our jobs. V'im nevakesh b'socha b'oros shal yumos olam inyan shal gemar shlichus etzel kenes Yisrael. If you look throughout all of history, any point, any moment where we can pinpoint that the Jewish people have finished part of their shlichus, lo nimtza oso b'shum panim, you won't find it ever, except in this case of Ezra. Ezra is an example of finishing that shlichus, right? The bitul yitzud avodah zarah, with us destroying the avodah zarah. Okay? Umeirim him le'inenu divrei chachamim shepir shukra deviyeshu basukos b'nechemya al uvdazu de Ezra. And so that's why the chachamim explained that when we built sukkos in the time of Ezra, it didn't mean obviously we never had a sukkah before. But rather means, what does the holiday of Sukkah represent? The holiday of Sukkah represents the culmination of our shlichus. And the culmination of shlichus means that we were mevatel the Yetzirah. So when it talks about in Ezra building a Sukkah for the first time, it doesn't mean building a Sukkah for the first time. It means it's the first time Sukkahs really symbolize in a tangible way what it's supposed to be, meaning the destruction of the Yetzirah. Ezra destroyed a Yetzirah. Oh, that's an example of the metaphysical sukkah. That's the metaphysical sukkah. We've mevatel the Yetzirah. So the Kedusha Sazman, what it means is the holiness, the essence of the day of Sukkot is the idea of completion, of destruction of the Yetzer Hara, of bringing the world to a tikkun, coming to a better place. That's what the Kedusha is deep inside of Sukkah, right? That's what we're celebrating ultimately, something that hasn't happened yet, except in one instance. And that, the Maral says, that's exactly why the Torah calls it Chag HaSif. Chag HaSif means we're bringing the crops in. We finished the job. We've gotten to the finish line. And that's what Sukkot is about, getting to the finish line. That's what Ezra was about. He got to the finish line, at least for that aspect of a Yetzirah. Okay. Let's see. Gimel. So now we have to explain the Simchas Beis HaShoeva. Now the pieces are coming together. What happened at this Simchas Beis HaShoeva? They do the strangest thing. Here we are. It's a happy day. We're at Sukkot. The celebration climaxes at the Simchas Beis HaShoeva when they take the water and they dance and they make a big party out of it. And then all of a sudden, we start talking about Avodah Zarah. Like, stop. Why are you talking about Avodah Zarah and how our ancestors were terrible? We're happy now. You know, don't do that. Don't mix good and bad. So says Rav Hodner, no, of course. That's what this is all about. What's the tremendous simcha of Sukkot? What's the tremendous simcha of the Simchas Beis HaShoeva? It's the idea that we really believe strongly we're going to complete our mission. We're going to get there, right? We may not be there 100% yet, but we're going to get there. And we're getting there. And we have an example of that. Says B'nai Yisrael, we stand there at the Beis HaMikdash and said, you know what? A bunch of generations ago, 4 or 5 generations ago, however that it was, you know, 70 plus years, you know, our ancestors sat at this Beis HaMikdash and they worshiped Avodah Zarah. But we don't do that. We don't do that. Anuluya. We are only to Hashem. And we don't have that anymore. And that's a tremendous accomplishment. That's the truth. And that's what this simcha is about. And if you look at the Rambam describes it, and he says in Oz Gimel, we'll skip it, but he describes the simcha Beis HaShoeva as a simcha yisera. It's an extra added elevated level of simcha. Why is it? What's the extra added elevated level? Because it's the level of simcha that means we've brought the world to a tikkun. We can't get better than that. It's the Imos HaMashiach, right? Oz Dalet. Right? So what the Mishnah and Sukkah is telling us is it's true. Such a thing could exist. We're a Mavatal Yetzirah and we get to a perfect world. And so we're not shying away from mentioning the Avodah Zarah and Mikdash Rishon. Why? Because we're so proud of the idea that we finished a certain shlichus. We've actually made it to a finishing of a certain shlichus. And that's what the Mishnah in Sukkah is talking about. Brilliant. It's a brilliant insight into the Mishnah Sukkah. Why? You know, it's such a nice thing to talk about, to say at a table at your Sukkah. You say, like, why are we talking about this here? And the answer is because we can do it. We can do stuff like that. Our shlichus is really doable, right? It's within our grasp. Let's go down to Osei and wrap it all up. So now we're going to go back to our original question. Why are we flipping, right? The word zechira for yediyah. When it comes to Yetzias Mitzrayim, we talk about zechira, and when we talk about also Yetzias Mitzrayim, Hashem took us out of Mitzrayim, and put us in Sukkos. Now it's about yediyah. Okay. Dibenogel Yetzias Mitzrayim huzarnu b'lashon zechira. When it comes to Yetzias Mitzrayim, we talked in Lashon of Remembrance. When it comes to Sukkos, we talk about knowledge, knowing. So the language of the Pasuk is very specific. It says, Hashem put us in Sukkos, right? He had us dwell in Sukkos because when he took Bnei Yisrael out of Mitzrayim, we were in Sukkos. So the Torah mends together, welds together both the idea of Yetzias Mitzrayim, which you should be at a Lashon Zechira, and the idea of Sukkos, dwelling in these Sukkos when we left, and it talks about it Yediyah. Okay? But the Yediyah is connected to the Yetzias Mitzrayim specifically. Hare, that is to say, What this means, the idea that it mentions the Yediyah, is to teach us that the Torah is not only specifying the act of sitting in a sukkah alone, in isolation. It's not just about the sitting in the sukkah, right? There's something more to this. It's also connected to the story of Yetzias Mitzrayim, right? It doesn't have to mention Yetzias Mitzrayim. The Torah, we have spoken about Yetzias Mitzrayim. That's Pesach. The Torah could have just said, when we were in the desert, we were in sukkos, right? Done. No. It connects it specifically that when we left Mitzrayim and we're in the desert, Hashem put us in sukkos. There's a larger picture here. That means we're not just celebrating just the moments of Sukkos itself. But it's sitting in the sukkah, that shayich, that's related to it's leaving Mitzrayim. And the reason why that fits so beautifully is lefi darko shel ha'maral hanal, according to the Maral that explained to us before that the Yom Tovim are connected. There's a storyline here that started with Yetzias Mitzrayim, but it doesn't end there. In Yano Shal Kasov Zemis Parashu Leimor, the Pasuk is teaching us the following. Ha'asiv Shal Kenes Yisrael, Koluhu Ba'aviv Shal Kenes Yisrael. The bringing in of Kenes Yisrael, the completion, the kind of the ending of the Shlichos of Kenes Yisrael is part of this larger picture that started with the Aviv, the Haschala of Knesset Yisrael. Klomar, that is to say, Lo ha'ashova besukos stam hu eker pekan. It's not simply that we sat in sukkos. El ha'ashova besukos b'shas tzitzias Mitzrayim. But we sat in sukkos as a continuation of the story of Yetzias Mitzrayim. Klomar, ha'asisi shluchusecha shal gemar ha'shlichus. It means to highlight that this is part of that process that we're saying in when it comes to sukkahs, that we finished our jobs, right? That you appointed us to at the time of Pesach, the time of Yetzias Mitzrayim. You appointed us as our shlichim. And the story of sukkahs is we finished our shlichus, right? If you just think about sukkahs in a vacuum, okay, so we sat in sukkahs and we can celebrate this tremendous miracle that we survived through a desert with these just ramshackle little huts. That is a very special thing, and that could be worthy of celebration on its own. But the Torah is specifying that this is part of a storyline that starts Yetzias Mitzrayim. The Maral teaches us Yetzias Mitzrayim is when we are appointed as shlichim, and the story now ends with sitting in Sukkos. We did our jobs. That's what it means. That's the Chag HaAsif. Right? Sukkos is about finishing our shlichus. V'nimsa. The musag hayadia hulam hu bekan es ha'inyan harbe yosim asher musag hazechira. What Yediyah teaches us is that when you have to know something, it means there's an understanding that something greater is going on. Zechira is just remembering the moment that we just remember sitting in Sukkos. That would be a zechira. We just remember leaving Mitzrayim. That's a zechira. Yediyah means I have to understand something bigger here. There's got to be an understanding behind the story. Not just not just the chapter we're up to. Yediyah means I understand chapter 1, chapter 2, chapter 3, and I can put it together. There's something going on here. That's a yediyah. That's knowledge. Ki b'shah shenose ha'inun hu ma'orah shel ha'avar, hari ha'zechira matim ha'yosir. When the whole purpose of our actions is just to remember the past, so we talk about zechira. That's remembering the past. I'm trying to remember a moment in time, right? I take out a picture and I say, oh, you remember when we went on vacation, right? That's remembering something that happened. Okay, but again, gufal adovda shel tzias Mitzrayim ba yazkira. So when it comes to Mitzrayim, we talk about zikhira because we're remembering that one moment in time, that tremendous moment at that moment. Ma she'ein kein b'krod de sukkos. But when it comes to sukkos, she'ein sof inyon ha'gufa de'uvda shel ha'shav b'sukkos. When it comes to sukkos, it's not just about sitting in sukkos. That is an amazing thing to celebrate, but it's not what it's about. Elashu kolel gam es akesher ben ha'ashova b'suka b'prat, but rather it includes the connection between the sitting in the sukkah as a detail, as part of the larger picture in Yetzias Mitzrayim b'chlal of leaving Mitzrayim. Sitting in sukkos as part of a larger picture about leaving Mitzrayim. What's that larger picture? is that this was a whole big story of our getting our unique identity, of being shlichim of Hashem. And this connection between sukkah, Mitzrayim, goes beyond just the sitting in the sukkah, right? Sitting in the sukkah is only one detail of it. There's a whole big story here. And that's really what sukkahs is about. It's about the whole story. It's about understanding where how we got to this point of sukkahs. And so therefore, it's more shayach, it's more appropriate to talk about understanding what sukkah is about. Not just reliving, not just remembering, but understanding what's it about. What's that about? That's the Maharal. That we sat in Sukkos as part of the story of leaving Mitzrayim. And so therefore, that's why we talk about Yediya. So says Rav Hutner something so beautiful. What's Sukkos about? You know, normally when we sit in our Sukkos, we talk about that we sat in a Sukkah. It's either on an Akavod, or it's actually Sukkos Mamish, and it's a very special thing, and we're in the shade of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We talk about all that. Says Rav Hutner, there's a whole other layer to this that you can't ignore. There's something about Yediya. Yediya means you have to realize there's a larger story here, there's a larger context. What's that context? That context is we were appointed as Shalichim, that's Yetzias Mitzrayim. We were given our mission statement with the Torah, through Torah, mitzvos, bring this world to a better place through that. And then Sukkos is the culmination of all that. And so when we go through a Rosh Hashanah and a Yom Kippur, right? And we're doing all that introspection and we're trying to like perfect ourselves. We're trying to do tshuva. We're trying to make ourselves better. We head into Sukkos and we try to tap into that little bit of us is like, maybe there's a moment of perfection. There's a moment of perfection inside of us. There's a moment of perfection in this world. There's a moment of perfection that's completed with our shlichus. And that's what Sukkos is about. And that's the simcha. That's the tremendous simcha of Sukkos is that, wow, there's something called completion. There's something called no more Yetzirah. There's something called just us and God. And there's nothing distracting us from that. And that's what Sukkos is about. And that's why it comes on the heels, I think, of a Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur. Because that's how you get to that. That's how you can tap into that kind of koach. Right? That's why we can celebrate that Kedushas Hazman at that moment. Why isn't it some other time? Right? Why don't we do this idea of completion of our mission at a different point in time? Do it right after Pesach, right? If it's connected to Pesach, do it right after Pesach. Because the Kedushas HaZman of Sukkos is something of almost akin to perfection, Olam Haba. You can only do that after Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, right? When we've gone through that cleansing process ourselves, where we can really say that, you know, I've returned, right? And that I've been retire myself. And then you can tap into that Kedushas HaZman of a time of perfection. So that's this, the piece hopefully gives us an additional appreciation for the Chag HaSukkos.